Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
If you have your Bibles tonight, I would encourage you to get those and follow along with me as we study together, because we are going to study from several passages of Scripture tonight. I'll try to give them in such a way that you can turn to them as we study about them. I want to read three major sections of Scripture to set the scene for our lesson tonight. First is found in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 4. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the land which hath drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them for whose sake it was also tilled, receiveth blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it is rejected, and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward his name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope even to the end, that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And then, if you will, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and begin with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, in him, I say, in whom also we were made an heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be under the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Christ, in whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having also believed, you were sealed with this Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of the inheritance under the redemption of God's own possession, under the praise of his glory. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. It is hard for me to understand why people will not obey the gospel of our Lord. It is perhaps even harder for me to understand why, after people become Christians, that they drift back into the sins of the world. I think that possibly it is because that many people do not really understand the significance of the great blessings that the Christian has in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that that's not always the case, because the writer of Hebrews says, as we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 6, that there were some who tasted of the heavenly gift, and were enlightened and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away. But he points out that those who have done that, those who have tasted the good word of God, those who have experienced, in other words, the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, those kinds of people have no means to be reached to make them repent. Once a person has tasted the good blessings in Christ Jesus and has found no real significance and purpose and goal in life and no reason for his living the way he lives as a Christian, there is no hope of reaching that person to cause him to repent. And thus the writer says it's impossible to renew them again into repentance. Why? Because there is no motivation. I'm convinced that we are motivated primarily in living the Christian life by the great and eternal and wonderful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. If we're not motivated by these things, we'll not be motivated by anything. If we'll not stay faithful because we have these great things, we'll not stay faithful for any reason. The phrase "in Christ" occurs in these passages that I read tonight, Ephesians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. It is, in the Greek, the word "in" is two letters, the same as the English. It's sometimes used in a locative sense, that is, that it's located in something, like I put my hand in the pulpit, or I put my hand in the pocket, that's where my hand is. And sometimes it's used in an instrumental way, that is, by Christ or with Christ. But in the passage that I want to refer to tonight, and the lesson that I have tonight, each one of them is talking about being located in Christ. That's where it's at, if you'll pardon the modern-day use of the phrase. The great blessings that are available to Christians, the great blessings that God has made available to His world, are only found in Christ. That's where it's at. And that's where every person who is going to receive any blessing that God has available for him in a spiritual way must find them. He will not find them in any other realm. He will not find them in any other area. He will not find them in any other authority. He will not find them in any other name. He will not find them in any other religion or any other faith or any other truth. But rather, he will find them only in Christ Jesus. Those of us who are Christians must remind ourselves from time to time of the great blessings that we have in Christ. Have you thought about them lately? If we could just remind ourselves from time to time, when we begin to drift, you know, if we begin to discount the great blessings that we have, if we could just remind ourselves again of what we have in Christ Jesus, then surely we would not want to crucify Him afresh and put Him to an open shame by drifting away from Him and turning away from Him and apostatizing from Him, as these people in Hebrews chapter 6 have done. Now notice also that he uses the contrast here in Hebrews 6 of the land. He says, the land who receives all the cultivation and all the blessings and all the rain and all the fertilizer and all the care from a farmer and from the Lord. And then that piece of land brings forth thorns and thistles and weeds. That land is not good for anything. It's not worth a dime. Said it's the end of it really needs to be burned up, just dissolved. But then verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation. Christians, because they have the great blessings in Christ, ought to manifest those things and bring forth those kinds of fruits which come as a result of receiving all the blessings that God has given to us in Christ. I want to remind you tonight of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And I think we need to start with Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When I think of condemnation, I think of death row. It used to be the case in this country that once a person got on death row, that if that man was guilty and proven guilty, that he eventually went to the gas chamber or the electric chair or the hangman's noose. There was no reprieve. He was condemned to die. And on those occasions when there was found adequate reason or adequate evidence to warrant the governor to release that man or to take away the death penalty, someone might walk into that jail cell and say, "You are no longer condemned to die." What a wonderful sound that must have been to one who was ready to walk down that long hallway to the gas chamber. Death awaited him, but now he hears, "You're no longer condemned to die." No condemnation. That's what this passage pictures. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is no spiritual eternal separation from God in Christ. The wages of sin is death, says Paul in Romans 6 and 23. And in Romans 3 and verse 9 and also verse 23, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And that simply means every man, not except me, but including me. Every man sins who is an accountable individual who reaches the age of accountability, sins and is thus condemned before God to be eternally separated from God because of his sin. Death, separation, eternal separation of man's soul from the eternal soul, God. An everlasting punishment. Condemnation. That's what sin deserves. The wages of sin deserves death. And the wages of spiritual transgression deserves spiritual separation. That was God's decree. That was God's judgment. That's God's hate of sin demonstrated. And all accountable men are condemned due to that sin. All of us, as it were, are on death row, ready to be condemned, to be separated from God for eternity. But now in Christ Jesus, located in Christ Jesus, there is freedom from that. There is now no longer any condemnation. There's no longer that wages that we've earned by our sin because we're in Christ. Now notice the conditions that are pictured here. In chapter 8 of Romans and verse 4, he says, "That the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Those who are in Christ do not walk any longer after the flesh or carnal man, or after the lust of the flesh. But now in Christ Jesus, we live a different way. We live according to the teachings of the Spirit. And we find up in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." How are we led by the Spirit of God? We're led through the instrument, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the truth. We're led when we follow His teachings. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit then that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are led by the Spirit, who follow the teachings of the Spirit, and whose witness, our own spirit, bears witness with God's Spirit that we are children, adopted children into the family of God. No condemnation for God's children, but rather blessedness for God's children. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul puts it in an earlier section a little differently. He says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." When I hear of a married couple who've had difficulties in their marriage being reconciled, I rejoice. When I hear of a teenage son or daughter who goes away and finally comes back home and is reconciled to their parents, I rejoice. It's a glad occasion, isn't it? But when I think about a sinner like the prodigal son who comes to himself and decides and makes his way home and is reconciled to the Father, I rejoice even more. When I see a sinner who is condemned to die, condemned to eternal separation from God, lost in everlasting punishment, when I see that sinner who has earned for himself that death, then accept God's grace and the gift of salvation and be reconciled to God, I rejoice even, yea, even more than any of these other reasons for reconciliation and rejoicing because of that. To be reconciled is to be brought into a right relationship again, to brought back into a relationship that we once previously held. And now we have been reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. There is no longer condemnation, but reconciliation in Christ. For your further study, you might want to read Ephesians 2, verse 15 and 16. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, which talks about this reconciliation in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, that we have been reconciled, that we might become ministers of reconciliation. Reconciled to God. No condemnation, but rather we have been reconciled back to our Father. What a wonderful blessing that is. My friends, tonight, if you have some reason that you cannot with confidence pillow your head and say, in Christ Jesus, I have been reconciled, then, my friends, you do not have the spiritual blessings that God has promised to you. And you need to repent. And you need to confess your sins publicly if need so, or at least privately. And ask God to forgive you that you might be reconciled to Him, because that's the promise that you have in Christ. Are you a Christian? Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you have no condemnation. You've been reconciled to God. And notice also, as we look at Romans chapter 8, that another great blessing we find in Christ is freedom. Look at this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Freedom. This country is based on the design and the intentions of freedom. Freedom, what a wonderful word it is. Freedom. It's freedom that we want. It's freedom that we desire. And in a spiritual way, there's even a greater need to be free. To be free from the law of sin and the law of death. Now, in a particular way, perhaps Paul has reference here to the law of Moses, which was, in fact, the law of sin and death. Because the law, you see, could not justify. It could not reconcile. It could not bring forgiveness. It could not bring redemption. We're not redeemed by the keeping of the law, but rather through the precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. And so then the law could not do what Jesus came to do. If it could have done it, Jesus would not have come. But it could not do what needed to be done. Freedom was needed. We were in bondage. We were kept under the tutorship. We were kept under the oversight. We were kept enslaved, as it were, to those rules and bondages that caused us to live in sin. Because no one could live in a perfect way in keeping the law. We transgressed the law. And because of that, every man was sinning. But the Bible says, the New Testament says, that Jesus came, and when the time came, Jesus came to fulfill the law, to take away the law, to remove the law, to destroy the law and its power over us. But I think not only do we need to understand that Paul is talking about the law of Moses here, but he's talking about the law which is in our members, the law which tends within us to lead us to lust and desire and to sin. And we're in bondage to that sin, or we're in bondage to that influence. We no longer have any, we have no power, you see, to overcome that. But he says, in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we have a law which enables us to overcome that sin. It's made available to us and referred to as the law of faith. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27 says, do we no longer have any law? No. We have the law of faith. the rule and regulation which is determined by the faith of Jesus Christ, those things and principles which are taught by the Lord and are given for our good. In James chapter 1, verse 25, this law is called the law of liberty, the perfect law, the law of liberty, freedom, freedom from the law of sin that keeps us in bondage, freedom from the law of Moses, which kept us under its control. But now we have been made free in and through faith in Christ Jesus. In Christ, then, in His body, in the relationship of His member of His body with Him, the head, we are controlled no longer by the law of sin and death, but no longer by the law of Moses, but rather by a law of faith, a law of liberty, a rule which provides freedom. But Paul would say, in a hurry, said, well, if we do not have law, then we have license. No. For he says in verse 13, for ye, brethren, were called for freedom, only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. We must not give an occasion to the flesh or say, well, if that's the case, if I have no law, then let me just go ahead and live the way I want to live. No. Paul did not say that the Lord removed law per se, but the law of sin and death and the law of Moses. But the rule of faith and the rule of liberty is still in effect. And that is in the faith in Christ Jesus. God's grace is in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, we've been saved by God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God being rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace have you been saved, and raised us up with Him, and made us to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should glory. But we are created, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Notice that, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. No longer do we trust in works to save, we trust in the Lord to save. No longer are we bound by the law, but we're bound by the faith. No longer are we kept in bondage to our own sinful lusts and desires, but rather we are controlled by the Lord and the Lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ. We submit to Him and His will, and He aids us and encourages and strengthens us to live in Him according to the law of liberty. He's made us alive, verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 2. He's raised us up, Ephesians chapter 6. He's provided us kindness, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. We have peace with Him in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 6 and Romans 5 and many other passages as well. And so then, we've seen there's no condemnation. My friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back into a state of condemnation. Do you? It's like being released from death row and then going back and volunteering again to be on death row. It's like being enslaved with shackles, being released from those shackles, going away, and then say, well, this freedom's not so great, I think I'll go back into shackles again. And going back in then to enslavement to sin. How foolish indeed would we think a person would be that did that. And yet, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who have no condemnation, who are now made free in Christ Jesus, what do some of us do? We have a tendency to think that we'd be better off if we went back in sin. Not so. Let us never forget that only in Christ is there found freedom from condemnation and freedom from sin and freedom from the wages and the guilt of sin. Free. Freedom. And thirdly, the Bible teaches that salvation is in Christ. Now, these are terms that we use sometimes in a synonymous way with the term salvation, but I want to zero in on it for just a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, I suffer these things for the elect's sake, that all may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation. We sing the song sometimes, salvation has been brought down. Ring the message out. Salvation has been brought down. You know, we're not as enthusiastic about that as we ought to be. We're not as thrilled with that as we ought to be. What has happened when we taste the great message of salvation, the great news of salvation, the great wonder of salvation, the great love of God in salvation, and then not have any kind of emotional response about it at all? We're indifferent to it. Brethren, let us never forget that salvation is only in Christ. That's where it is. Only in Christ. There is none other name in which and by which we can be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. There's no hope outside of Christ Jesus and His authority. There's no hope outside the body of Christ, His church, His called out people. We must be one of the called out and in Christ to have salvation. Romans 12 and verse 5, we are one body in Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. Christ is ahead over that body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and all men become one in Christ Jesus. Not 200 or 300 or 400, but all men in Christ Jesus are one in Christ Jesus. We have the promise that salvation is in Christ Jesus through the gospel, revealed to the apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles too had salvation in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3 and verse 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 2 says, I remind you of this gospel which you've received, wherein also ye are saved, if you hold fast to that doctrine which was delivered to you. Now notice that. It says, I preach this gospel which ye received, wherein ye are also what? Saved. The gospel message is the gospel of salvation. The gospel message is the good message of salvation. Salvation is in Christ, and it's now. Salvation is now. The gospel makes salvation available now. We have salvation in Christ Jesus now from past sins, not in the future. Yes, we hope to have salvation in the future. We hope to have heaven in the future. That will be a future hope. But now we have salvation in and through the gospel and our acceptance and our obedience to the gospel in Christ Jesus. Brethren, we have salvation in Christ now. And that's what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 2 and many other passages. Salvation now from past sins. A continuous process of cleansing of the blood of Christ now as we strive to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. We're called out by this gospel out of the world and sanctified through it, set apart in the body of Jesus Christ and cleansed from sin through His blood. And the washing away of our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ in obedience to the gospel or baptism. We must not reject the gospel. To reject it will put us in the category of those on whom Jesus will take revenge when He comes in flaming fire on those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if salvation begin first at us, what shall be the end of those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 4 and 17. Salvation is available. It's available now in Christ. The message of salvation is the gospel. We have received the gospel, obeyed the gospel, we stand in the gospel, we are saved by the gospel, and that salvation is in Christ Jesus. Let us never forget, as you go through daily life and as you are plagued by the difficulties of life and the disturbances of life and the disappointments of life, that you are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus there is salvation. There is safety from death and sin's enslavement. And also, as we think about those things which are in Christ, we have a relationship as a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible, in some areas, is mysterious. It claims to be. Doesn't say that there are not some things that men do not understand. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that which is revealed belongs unto men, that which is hidden belongs unto God. There are some things about which we will never know the truth until the time comes for the Lord to reveal them to us in person. But even though I may not know everything about the new birth, and even though I may not understand everything there is to know about being recreated in Christ Jesus, I know by faith that the Bible teaches that when we are obedient to the gospel of Christ, we raise from that watery grave like a person is raised from the watery birth as a new creature. I know that we put that old man away in faith. We bury him. We put him away. He's dead. And then through faith in the power of God and the glory of His power, we are raised to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 very plainly teaches that. Those who are in Christ Jesus are new creatures. We're new. Not the same old man. I heard a little story one time about a fellow who said, have you seen... He said, oh, how are you doing, so-and-so? And he called his name. He says, I'm not the man you knew. He says, what do you mean? He said, you look like the same man to me. He said, no, I became a Christian last night. And I'm not the same man that you knew. Now, that's true. Brethren, listen. When a person, he may live in a, I don't know what kind of terrible things he's done in times past. But when that person becomes a Christian, he's not the same man he was. You're not the same woman you were. When you, from the heart, are obedient to the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about a sham. I'm not talking about just being, you know, dunked in the water. I'm talking about being, receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, being truly convicted and convinced and converted. You're a different man. You're a different woman. You think differently. You talk differently. You act differently. You're a different person. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And let's not go back to the old way. Let's not go back to the former way. Paul warned the New Testament Christians, don't go back to the old way. Don't go back to your former way of life and your former enslavement and bondage. No, not so. But rather, in Christ Jesus, you are to live a new life. I think he very picturesquely portrays it here. Romans 6. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more hath dominion over Him. For the death that he died unto sin once, but the life that he liveth unto God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof, nor present your members as unto sin, as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. New creatures in Christ Jesus, raised from the power of God, through faith in His power to raise us, and we are new in Christ. We need to live like we're new in Christ every day. And let us never forget that even though we may stumble and even though we may make mistakes, nevertheless, we are not the same men we once were. We are not the same. We do not live the same way. We do not think the same way. We think differently now. The Lord is our Lord, not our own selves. A new life in Christ, born again, babes in Christ, who desire and sincerely seek the milk of the Word that we might grow thereby, created for good works in Christ Jesus, to seek those things which are above. And then, in Christ, we have eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, John talks about this eternal promise that we have. And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. Isn't that simple? Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. What kind of life is He talking about? He's talking about an abundant life. Well, what kind of life is an abundant life? A life that is better than any other life. That's what He's talking about. A life that is better in this life and a life that will be better in the life to come. Eternal life. The phrase, aionios zoe, John uses it frequently. And I think you'll read as you study through the Gospel of John that whenever that phrase occurs, eternal life, that it used normally by John to have reference not only to the life to come, but also to this life, now. We have salvation. That's another term for that. Eternal life, the phrase eternal life, is simply another phrase referring to salvation, to being saved now. That does not mean, and many people have interpreted that, and we run away from it because many people have interpreted it to mean you can't ever lose it if it's eternal. But I want to point out to you that the word aionios does not always mean forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It sometimes has reference as an adjective to quality. The quality of the eternal, which is God. And the quality of life, which is like God, is a godly life, which is the Christian life. A life that is now in Christ. But like salvation, it too has reference to salvation in three senses. Past, that is salvation from what we have done and being cleansed now and standing cleansed before God. And salvation in the present sense, as we walk along in the light, the cleansing blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us from sin as we walk in His light and confess our sins. And then also the life that we have hope of, a hope which we have not seen, but that which we hope for. For that which we hope for we have not seen, says Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. And so we have salvation from past sins in obedience to the gospel, salvation continuously in the cleansing blood of Christ, and salvation in the future, the hope of heaven itself. Simply to say that I have salvation now, I have eternal life now, as this passage very plainly says, that if we're in the Son, we have it. If we're not in the Son, we don't. To say that I have that does not mean that I cannot sin in such a way to lose eternal home in heaven. I think we need to study this out and to think about it and remember, because many times we fail to experience the great blessings that we have in Christ and the confidence and the assurance that we ought to have in Christ when we fail to understand that we have salvation now. Yes, we're saved in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we have no condemnation. We are free from the bondage and the enslavement of sin. We have salvation now. We are new creatures in Christ. And we have eternal life in His Son. And we have the hope of heaven after this life is over. The Bible very plainly teaches that we're to be faithful unto death. We're to keep the faith. We're to live acceptably unto God. But it is not so narrow. And the rules and regulations and the restrictions that God has placed on us for our good are not so narrow that we in again, out again, off again, on again, saved again, not saved type of life. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, yea, that their works, works and labors will follow them. What a wonderful thing it is to know that when we die in the Lord, that we're going to receive the reward laid up for us. Be faithful. Live as best you can, but trust in the Lord for salvation. You have the joy of salvation now. No condemnation, freedom from sin, salvation now, new creatures in Christ Jesus, eternal life. How do we get into Christ? That's the question. How do we get into Christ? Well, all of us, if I were to poll this number tonight, could tell me how. There would be very few who would not be able to tell me how to get into Christ tonight. The Bible teaches that we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Galatians 3 and verse 27. There is no other way to get into the saving relationship of Jesus Christ than to accept God's gift of salvation on His conditions, bury that old man, raise him to walk through faith in the power of God as a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel, I urge you to do so tonight. If you've gone astray, drifted away, brought shame and reproach upon the church, lost your joy in salvation, experienced what it's like to be away from God, please, don't stay out there. There's no need to stay out away from God. Because in Christ, there's no condemnation. Don't you want to be free from condemnation? In Christ, there's freedom. Don't you want to be free? In Christ, there's salvation. In Christ, we're new creatures. We can put that old man away. In Christ, there is eternal life and the hope of heaven. If you need to come tonight, come right now while we stand.